Previously on the Jay and Dan podcast.
Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie, you had the tougher ones, thank God.
Yeah, it was.
My lines are like, you like fries? And then, how about those fries?
I love this ass!
Yeah, and I'm turning a little corner of my almost 200-year-old basement that is stone and rock walls into a listening chamber, which it has a...
A listening chamber sounds like somewhere where you're going to torture someone.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to go on down there, but
even more ominous. What's going to happen in my listening chamber?
Mm-hmm. And the Halloween decorations are in the same room, and one of them is a zombie bride. You swipe up against her, and she starts going,
So that's why you want to make the chamber a little more comfortable. For you and your zombie bride to have some alone time in the basement. Mm-hmm. Hello, Justine. You're looking beautiful tonight. Yes, I'm your lover. Now, let's take off that tattered wedding dress and consummate the marriage here in the listening chamber. Mm-hmm. What you want to do is trust Big Pharma. Big Pharma is going to come through for us.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast, brought to you by our friends at McDonald's.
November 16th, 2020, on the year that will never end.
Jay and Dan podcast brought to you by McDonald's. Ladies and gentlemen, we have, courtesy of our star producer, Christoph, a couple of McCafe boxes in front of us. Whatever could be in here. It's donuts.
Donuts.
Delicious donuts for us to try.
Oh, man, these smell good.
These look amazing. We got a couple of purple ones, a couple of chocolatey ones, and a couple of just your classic glazed, I think.
Do you know what flavors these are?
No, I simply went with the assorted package, so it is an assortment of flavors.
This one's maple. It's damn good.
Can we just talk about what happened when you ordered the donuts?
Yeah, I pulled up to the drive-thru at McDonald's, and I had a young man on the other side there, and I ordered a dozen donuts, and he was slightly confused, and he asked me, dozen what? And then I wasn't sure what he was referring to, but I just came to the conclusion he actually didn't know how much a dozen was, so he asked me, how many donuts do you want? And I finally said 12, and he said, okay, 12 assorted donuts.
Imagine if you'd said a baker's dozen, you'd have really f***ed him up.
His head would explode, probably.
Maybe he's not from a line of bakers.
Well, or mathematicians. I'm from a line of great mathematicians. I'm the great-great-great-grandson of Sir Isaac Newton. Now, what's a dozen again? I've got 12 for you here.
Holy shit, this is good.
Now, they are really good donuts.
Oh, my God.
They are tasty.
Sorry for eating in your ear.
Yeah, they're good. They're yummy.
I usually wait for a third date for that.
Don't forget.
What?
In the listening chamber.
Eat in your ear.
With your zombie bride. She just wants to eat your ear.
Zombies eat humans, right? Oh, they just eat brains, right?
Yeah, she's like, brains. And you're like, actually, I was hoping for sex. Like, brains. Okay. Let's come to a compromise.
Can I finish these donuts
sex
first?
For brains.
I still think the listening chamber could be a Crave original.
Well, I mean, we need all the programming we can get on Crave.
Here, I got the tagline.
Uh-oh, I hope this doesn't explode. Oh, it's okay, it's good.
He went in to listen, but no one heard.
Isn't that like if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it? Does it make a sound?
Kinda.
If a zombie goes to the basement and Dan O'Toole has sex with it while it eats his own ear, is it a zombie?
It's still a zombie.
I like the idea of you becoming a zombie, but then not telling anyone and then just coming back into work. And Tim being like, okay, Dan, did you finish writing your on cameras? Brains! And Tim's like, for f***'s
sakes. I gotta print the lineup. I gotta get the scripts out. Can you just write your on camera?
Brains.
Okay, Dan, your bit yesterday, brains, every intro, we got it.
Yeah,
okay, can you move on?
We understand. You're obsessed with zombies. You're dating a zombie. Good for you. We're all happy for you, Dan. We're all happy for your success and your love, okay? But at this point, we need you to write an introduction to this Brooklyn Nets-New York Knicks matchup.
Brains.
Oh, well, that actually works for that. Okay, so you can use it for that one. And then that's, it's my really stick. Good. Then every night at work, I don't have to do anything.
So then, like, over-highlight, like a two-minute Monday Night Football pack, this Vikings-Bears highlights. You'd just be like, brains, brains, and into the end zone, brains. And brains steps back into the pocket, avoids the sack.
No, you can only use brains.
Action. Brains!
So you'd be
brains.
Like,
brains. 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 Brains.
And then eventually people would know what I was talking about.
And then you go to parent-teacher interviews. So Ruby's been acting out. Brains? Okay. Anyway, and Ruby's marks aren't really where we need them to be. Brains.
You're right. We need to work on her brains. Good call. I'm glad we had this meeting.
I like this idea of you becoming a zombie. Zombie Dan would be a good, maybe, animated series. But again, everyone in your life has no idea that you become a zombie. They just think that you just turned a little weird. And for a lot of us, it wouldn't be that far of a stretch.
Then they'd have a brains intervention.
Right. They're like, Dan, the only word you say is brains. To everyone in your life, your mom, your kids, your coworkers.
Brains?
Yeah, there it is again. It's cool. I like that you're into this joke. Sally, do you have anything to say?
Who the f*** Sally?
That's your zombie brain.
Oh, that was Justine.
Oh, right. Justine, do you have anything to say?
Brains?
Brains? Because usually it's always brains, but then eventually you have a different cadence. Like, brains?
Brains.
Ooh, I'm going to be flying the rest of the night from these donuts. Hello!
So we have a couple of great guests on the show tonight. And
a couple?
Them, yeah, one of them did a heck of a job for TSN during our coverage of the Masters.
That's right. Graham Dillette is going to be here.
It's got to be the third or fourth time he's been on the podcast.
That's right.
He's a real regular now.
Want to talk about their experience being down in the... Well, he lives in the States. So he's living through the COVID nightmare that is taking place down there. Tell us who would be a better roommate to live with, James Duthie or Bob Weeksy? I'm going to say Weeksy, hands down.
To me, it's Weeksy because he's getting you stretched out in the morning. He's got no problem crushing beers. And then at night, I wonder what kind of music Weeksy listens to.
Yeah, I want to know the...
Steely Dan. 24/7.
So they, I don't know if they had to sign an agreement or what.
Steely Dan stuff.
But they had to, they were on a bus, so they'd go from the course to the house, courts to the house. That's all they did. So I want to know their nighttime routine in the Masters house for TSN.
I still don't know how it wouldn't have been better to just fly.
Maybe they had to take a bus. I don't know. Adam.
I'm confused. But that's why we aren't in charge of production. Or that's why we barely leave the studio. This is Weeksy every night in the house in Augusta. Weeksy's cracking open brews, passing them around. Maybe something else a little stronger.
Well, Dillette brought the beer because he's got his own beer.
Right, right. Weeksy's like, hey, who wants another cold one? This is Do It Again, guys. Great track. What do you think?
Everyone's like, yeah, it's good, man.
All right, so should we dance?
Bob, I don't think we want to dance. I just think that's a bit much.
So Bob dances by himself in the corner, swaying to the gentle sounds of Steely Dan, getting drunker and drunker and his eyes blacker and blacker.
Sign me up for that night.
It does sound pretty fun.
It does sound fun.
And then Dan barges in. Bridge!
There was like, there he is! There he is!
It's not a party till the zombie shows up!
That sounds pretty fun. What do you think the chances are that we're going to get to go to Tokyo?
No chance.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know how the Olympics is going to take place, but hey, they
just
say it's still on.
Thomas Bach just had a press conference. He said they're going to have fans there and everything.
They're going to have two Olympics.
What do you mean? What do you
mean? Just back to back.
Oh, well, yeah, next year and then the year after.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have two a year.
I know.
It's not that unrealistic.
I know. It's just during a pandemic.
Come on, it'll be fun.
Hey, listen, Big Pharma. Great news. In all seriousness, great news this week. Pfizer and the other guys. That's what I call them. Pfizer and the other guys.
Moderna.
Moderna.
If you take both, you've got like 187% beatable COVID.
I said Big Pharma was going to save us. And here we go. 90%, 95% success rate. Everything's going to be just fine. Unless you're a zombie, unfortunately, that vaccine won't take. Oh, bad news for Dan.
I wonder if they've investigated just, well, like, conspiracy people would be all against it, but just putting the vaccine in the water.
Okay. Who are you, Trump? Okay, here we go. Hi, sir. Are you here for the vaccine? Well, Pfizer's got it all approved, so here we go. Just going to need you to roll your sleeve up.
Brains!
Okay, I don't know why. We're not going to put a needle in your brain.
Brains?
You can't get COVID if you're a zombie.
I guess you've kind of moved past disease at that point.
COVID's the least of your worries. You're dead.
All you're looking for is some tasty brains to munch on. Would, like, sweetbreads satisfy you? Or, like...
So I've never had that.
Because that's like the... what is it, stuff? I gotta
look it up. That's the delicacy, right?
But, like, it's not the brain. It's not brains. What is it? It's the, thyroid. Hmm. Culinary name for the thymus or pancreas, typically from calf and lamb.
Have you ever had it?
Yes.
And?
It's okay. It's kind of a weird texture, I find.
Have you ever had... Oh, sorry.
It's almost like... Wait. What was that? Oh, that's going to be another drop. Do we have another one? Don't we have one of Toolsy's old ones like that stuff?
Have you ever had liver?
Yeah.
Liver and onions?
When we were young, I feel like maybe once every couple of months, Mom would bring out the liver, like for dinner, and we'd just be like, what the f***, Mom?
See, my father ate it, but no one else ate it.
It's really...
It like, smells disgusting.
I love, like, chicken liver mousse, okay. That kind of stuff. But actual, like, liver.
No good?
Plate,
it looks a little tough.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
And the taste is pretty... It's just not... It's the least favorite of the organs. Give me some fresh heart.
My least favorite organ.
Is that Dan?
That is a Dan noise.
Right? Well, actually, no, your least favorite... No one eats the lung of an animal.
Except for you, when you're a zombie.
But they only, again, eat brains.
What was that sound again? What is that? What were you doing
my
there?
My acid reflux, I think. Oh.
Sounds like a cash register. Dan's just racking up those sales.
Are we giving our guest a call?
Yeah, it's...
Yes, there he goes.
I'm feeling... Things are getting more and more locked down as we go into the winter times.
I am so used to not leaving the house that I don't even...
Yeah, it doesn't affect us that much.
When it's all over, I like the new way of living. Just not never leaving the house.
Not associating with other humans. Well, and because you are a zombie now, that's probably good for society.
Hey, put me in my listening chamber, lock the door, I'm good to go.
It's pretty fun to have a listening chamber. I've got one too, but it's got drywall and carpet. And
this one's got nothing right now.
Right.
So, still
maybe maybe do you soundproof it, maybe like heavily soundproof that bad boy, maybe?
No,
that seems like a good idea. Graham Dillette could help you with that. He seems a pretty handy guy. All the guys from Weyburn are handy.
Graham, are you a handy guy? Could you help me build a room in my basement?
No, my wife hangs pictures in my house, bud. That's actually not true, but no, I'm not handy at all.
How are you, my friend? Have you recovered from a wild Masters weekend with Duthie and Weeks and all the other ne'er-do-wells from this network?
I'm pretty worn out, actually. I got up early out of Atlanta this morning and flew home, lost a couple hours. So I'm almost ready to hit the wrapper here. But it was a fun week. It really was. Actually, it was a great group.
Okay, so we were debating before we called you up here. Who would make a better roommate? Who could you live a year with in a 500-square-foot condo, Bob Weeks or James Duthie?
Well, out of all the guys, I don't think I'd take either of those. okay. So if it has to be those two?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No matter what, someone's feelings are going to get hurt.
It's just Sophie's Choice situation.
Well, I'll go Duthie just because he gave me a free book.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's classic Duthie. Gifts. Yeah. That's how Duthie gets you. He writes 6 or 7 books every year. Sends about to
everybody. I was wrong.
His wife says he's like the only guy who's written more books than he's read, he says.
I thought you'd go with Weeks. I thought you'd go with Weeksy for sure.
Well, I get along with both those guys. Obviously, I've known Bob for a lot longer, but we had a really good time. I mean, Puffy was hilarious and Vardy, and we, you know, played cards and had a couple beers every night, and it really was a good time.
So describe the house. Now, this is interesting. For the first couple of days, you're actually broadcasting. The first day in the morning, you were broadcasting from the house, and I felt like you guys didn't play that up enough. I feel like that's like got a reality show written all over it. Like it should be coverage from the house during the rounds, and then afterward, cameras in the house getting a view of all the wild action going on down there. COVID be damned.
We missed out. You're probably right, actually. But yeah, we filmed. I mean, obviously, it was we had some weather there on Monday, anyways. But we didn't actually get out to the golf course until the Wednesday, I believe. And it was weird being out there too, because it was just, well, first of all, like, I mean, it was kind of strange for me just because I walked the course a few times and I saw some guys, you know, they were playing and they kind of take double takes, like, it's like, oh, that's what are you doing here, kind of thing. And then some of the guys were like yelling, we're talking, like I had a conversation with Billy Horschel walking down 10, and I was like, all right, buddy, you have a good day. Like, but he's just a chatter. But so it was like, I felt a little like out of my comfort zone type of thing. But it actually was pretty neat. It was fun to see it kind of from the other side. And like Duthie is a pro. It was like actually like pretty amazing to kind of like watch him work. It was like this complete, like, not, I wouldn't say panic, but like everything getting ready, and then obviously it's like, okay, we're on a 5, and I'm like, oh, do this in the next 5 seconds, and then boom, and it was neat to see.
Yeah, we joke around with him a lot, but he's a very, very good broadcaster.
Can you see yourself continuing with the, you know, because you're going to continue your career to the best of your ability, but you got to think about post golf. Can you see yourself doing it full time?
I don't know. I don't know about full time, because the one thing, the only downfall really about playing professional golf is the amount of time that you're away from home, especially now that I have 2 young kids, and that would be the hard thing. Like, if I'm not out there playing golf, I think I would like to have something that, you know, if whatever my next step is in my career, would be something I could probably do from home. But to be able to, like, maybe do like the majors or something like that with those guys, and you know, just kind of sort of stay involved a little bit. I think it would be pretty neat. I did enjoy it, and I'm not saying that it's not something that I would do, but right now it's hard to kind of think that way because I do want to just I want to continue to play golf.
Yeah, the getting the player's perspective was so unique, and talking to players, your feel about the Masters in November. I came to the realization the Masters any time of year is awesome.
Yeah, that is true. It was definitely bizarre, you know, in our COVID world or whatever. But the golf course did play slightly differently. I think it, you know, from the scoring, you could tell that I think it was, I wouldn't call it easy, but like it was more scoreable, I think, and not just softer conditions, and that, and they did have some weather too, so that kind of feeds into that. And there's nothing you can do about Mother Nature, but the course held up really well, and the best player won, and that's really the most important thing.
And did we ever figure out? We've never seen a finish like that where, like, usually DJ would wait and let everyone else putt out, and then he would putt out. But he just kind of went up and tapped in that little short one, and I guess it was like it was kind of over. It was weird.
It was very bizarre. Like, the only thing I can think, like, because looking back, I was talking to a buddy today. I'm like, I can't believe he would tap that in. But I think he may have been in, like, Sungjae Im's line, and so he would have had to have moved his mark, and maybe just didn't want to put up with that. That's the only thing I can really think of. But, I mean, if it was me, I still would have moved it because it would have been fun to have, you know, have the moment. And then it's kind of almost weird, too, if you think from Sungjae, and he had that 3-4 footer or whatever, which was worth a lot of money because it was to finish T2nd. And he kind of, I'm sure in the back of his head, was putting that thinking, this is weird that I'm putting this now. Like, the tournament's already over kind of thing. Right. You know, I don't know. So I wouldn't think that any means from Dustin was a disrespectful, but it's just, it was like a weird dynamic that you just never see.
And then, you know, he walks off, like Bob was talking about on the broadcast. So he finishes, he walks off, and there's a cheer at first from, you know, like there's a lot of media assembled, but there's no crowds. And then he said it's like silence.
Yeah.
Like, it's bizarre.
It was very strange. It was just wrapped up 2020 pretty much perfectly as you'd expect or whatever. But it was cool to see, you know, like we said on the show, Dustin showing some serious emotion. Like, it's something that you never see from him. And I mean, everyone has emotions inside or whatever, and he does a very good job keeping those in on the golf course. And even, you know, after he wins regular tournaments or whatever it was, but you could see that one meant a lot to him. And, you know, props to Ballionis for getting that out of him there on the 18th green after he put the jacket on.
And that jacket, that's not his. That's a member's jacket that has a similar body type, correct?
Oh, is that true? I don't know.
Yes,
I didn't know
that's
that.
What we were told.
So we always thought, Graham, that like you had to send in your measurements, or you know, all the golfers had to send in their measurements or something. But yeah, apparently you just wear a jacket, or they just put a jacket on you. Yeah, that's a similar body type, and then later they send you your fitted
interesting
jacket.
Yeah, because I was thinking, I'm like, how come when I play the Masters, they didn't ask for my measurements? That was kind of disrespectful. But I guess they do that for everyone. Like, hey, well, Graham doesn't have a chance. We don't need his. I'm sure he's just been a 44 large for Mr. Davis down the hall.
The course looked to be in unreal shape. So many times this weekend, I like grab my girls. I'm like, will you guys look at it? It looks like a video game. Is it just me, or did it look even better than it ever has?
I don't know. I think it might have been just you. I'm not sure. Like, to me, like, I don't know. Like, it just the like around the green, some of like the little fringe areas and stuff looked like not quite perfect. And it just seems to me like it's always like absolutely perfect. But I don't know. That's it being pretty nitpicky saying that. But it did. It looked awesome. It looked awesome on TV. It looked awesome in real life. And it is a special, special place.
Now, Dustin Johnson said, start of the week, he's excited about the sandwiches, so everyone's going to say he's going to have sandwiches at his Masters dinner. Tell us your take on the sandwiches at the Masters, because the pimento cheese sandwiches are world famous, and our good friend Robert Lucetic, who's gone to 22 Masters, he says they're the most disgusting sandwich he's ever had. How are the sandwiches at the Masters?
Yeah, I'm not a pimento cheese. When I played, I had one just because I kind of felt like I had to have one. And I didn't like it. I don't even know if I ate the whole thing. But I like the egg salad sandwiches. They're pretty good. I was telling Puffy, do you know Puffy?
Of course, yep.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I was saying, you know, like it would be a good show is to have like an egg salad eating sandwich contest or something, or maybe like how many pimento cheese sandwiches sans crust a producer can fit in his mouth at one time or something like fun like that. Cause there's like, it's like the softest white bread. Like that's the one thing you give him credit. Like I'm not a white bread guy, but it's like, oh, really good.
They've got special Augusta bread.
It must be
some Southern grandmother, probably the same woman who owns the house you guys rented.
Maybe. It's like one of these old houses that has like, it's like compartmental with, I mean, I don't know how many kids these people have, but there was like, it seemed like 12 different bedrooms. I don't even know if I touched every room in the house. Well, no, I definitely didn't, but was just, you know, squeaky wooden old floors. And
what they charge for a week rental during the Masters probably pays their mortgage for the year.
I would assume it probably does, yeah.
It sounds like, just hearing what you're saying, Graham Dillette, that maybe there's a couple extra rooms down there that have gone unoccupied, and feel like maybe next year when this is all over, Toolsy and I'll join you down there.
Well, if I'll tell you what, guys, I'll invite you. You're officially invited.
Yes,
you guys
yes.
can come down Woo! Tomorrow next year.
This is huge. We got to talk. So Nicole Anderson, our production manager, who's in charge of all the production. She will listen to this and instantly be furious because she will not have the control. Graham has gone above her.
You say, if those guys aren't there, I'm not there.
I walk.
Hey,
there you go. Yeah, I'll squeeze them. I got a little bit of like elbow room there. Because they told me that in April, they're like, hey, man, if you're not in here, you come back. And the whole time, they're like, we apologize. Normally, this is so much smoother. It was a weird week with COVID. It was a weird week with the weather and everything like that. And I was like, guys, I'm having a great time. Like, don't worry about it. They're like, well, you have to come back in April. I was like, well, if I'm not in the tournament, I'll come back. And so with that being said, officially, like I said, you're invited.
I love it. I love it. And I in all sincerity, like, I really loved your style. I thought you were casual and you were conversational. Did it get easier for you as the week went on?
Well, thank you for that. I really didn't know like how it was going, in all honesty. And every time Ryder would give me a thumbs up, say good job after every time we had, I'm like, I don't know. Like if he's just saying that, if he says that to everyone or whatever. But, I think the thing that helped is that first day on Monday, on Thursday, we had that rain delay, and we were literally just kind of rolling. We had an extra 45 minutes or an hour or something like that of time that we just had to cover. And I just kind of felt like I needed that to just like almost like jump straight in the deep end and kind of get things going. And I'm glad that I think the feedback was pretty good for the most part, and I'm glad that people enjoyed it. And like I said, I actually had a pretty good time. I can't believe, though, for you guys, like, how much downtime there is, like for the amount of time that you're actually on TV and the amount of time that you're there during the day. That's what was crazy to me.
Yeah, that's kind of true with all aspects of broadcasting. It's like hours and hours and hours of prep and then a pretty quick actual on-air experience. But for Dan and I, it's pretty much 24/7 prep.
Yeah.
Hey, can we get into a few players? I wanted to touch upon Cam Smith, because when he was making a charge on Sunday, man, I was rooting so hard for that guy. Not that I was rooting against DJ, but he just seems like a likable, lovable guy.
Yeah, that's exactly it. He's just kind of that Australian happy-go-lucky. Everyone likes him. I don't know if we could talk about his mustache. I think that's about the only thing that he didn't just nail there last week. But he's such a good player. His short game is unbelievable. And, like, anyone who's ever played with him, like, they'll come in after lunch, who'd you play with? I play with Cam Smith. I'm like, oh, how many up and downs did he make from, like, the phone booth? He's like, it's like three. Like, he's that player. And so it was no surprise that I think that's his second top five. I think they were saying he finished fifth a few years ago at the Masters. And is that course really as well as you have to hit it or whatever around there? There's going to be so many times your short game's tested, and he has an unbelievable short game. However, this Sungjae Im, some of the up and downs that he made too are pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, he had ice in his veins.
Yeah,
like no emotion.
None.
Zero.
Yeah, it was. He's same thing. You talk to guys that have played with him, and they're just like, man, this kid, he just hits shots. He's so poised and confident, and you can see it in his play.
And the three Canadians, Corey Connors, Mike Weir, and Nick Taylor. Mike Weir making the cut. He finished. He didn't have a good Sunday, but still, to see him playing Saturday and Sunday must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and like I said it a couple times on the broadcast there, he is the reason. Like, we're seeing now his 2003 championship there. We're seeing the kid, the effects of it just now. Like, I mean, almost 20 years later, and that's kind of like, I think, how it works. Like, I guarantee you I would not have been playing golf, professional golf, if it wasn't for that win. And I know that it was instrumental for Nick and Adam, I can't say, for Corey. He's a little bit of the younger generation, but you're starting to see kind of the fruits of that championship for Mike, and there's a lot more great Canadians that are coming up the pipeline too.
Okay, so quickly upon your game, when do you see yourself playing next?
Well, I'm not playing this week. I wasn't planning on playing anyways, just because I was doing the Masters, so I didn't want to go in there with zero preparation. Next week we just have off. It's American Thanksgiving down here, and then the following week we're in Mexico, and that's the last event of the year, kind of just outside of Cancun, Riviera Maya. So I'll play that, and then have a few weeks off before we get back going here in January.
And do you still have a lot of medical exemptions left?
Yes. I think I have 19 or 20 starts left. So basically the full year, starting back up in January, I'll be able to still pick and choose the events that I want to play and, places that I've played well at in the past or whatever. And other than the majors and the invitationals, I'll pretty much get into everything that I want to play.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, heal that body, come back 100% or as close as you can to it. I don't know if, is he getting...
It's not possible anymore. I'm not saying that I'm old, but once you get to be 38 and you're a professional golfer or whatever, even if you're sitting in an office chair or whatever all day, like, you got aches and pains, so I'm past the days of being 100% or being wishful, I think. But
just always remember your job is what people retire to go and do.
Right, exactly. Well, I want to be able to do it when I retire, though. That's
yeah.
the problem.
Awesome. Okay, thanks, Graham.
Thanks, Graham.
All right, fellas. Have a good one. Thanks.
You too.
That is PGA star Graham Dillette. As you mentioned, that's like his third or fourth time on the podcast. He was on our Masters crew. Sounds like they had a good time.
Yeah, I think he did a really, really good job. First kind of full-on big event. I mean, it's the Masters, right? Mm-hmm. It's a huge event. And yeah, like you said, it's probably a little bit strange for him because he is still playing on the tour. But I just like this. I like Duffy, him, and Weeks together because Weeks is just, such a pro and does it so by the book. And Graham was pretty casual, and Duffy's just fumbling around looking for questions.
Yeah, I was
the
wondering,
fumbler.
I was wondering that about Graham. His peers would see him and say,
exactly. Yeah, it's awesome to have a player of his stature on our broadcast. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, so Corey Connors, he finished tied for 10th. Nick Taylor tied for 29th. Mike Weir tied for 51st. So Corey Connors gets an invite to next year's Masters, and he picked up, $250,000? DJ picked up over $2 million on the nose, I think. Yikes. Life-changing. Not that.
I think he was already set.
I think, yes. he's doing okay. Did you see the picture of Wehner in the full-on Masters garb?
In the caddy gear.
Yeah.
Looking good. You wonder if Wehner, at that point, was playing his own little Masters.
What?
The Masters of red wine and...
Oh, everyone was celebrating in that house. I would have paid for a pay-per-view of that house.
I would pay for a pay-per-view of the TSN house And I would not pay for a pay-per-view, but I would watch a television show of you in your dungeon. And you know who else would watch that for sure? Our good friend and special guest on the podcast, returning for the first time in a long time, Mr. Jeremy Taggart.
Hey, guys.
I didn't tell Dan that you were coming on. I wanted it to be a surprise, Tags. And
I like it. I like the sneaky tag.
But you know what? You could tell he was thinking it was going to be someone he wasn't excited.
Oh, whenever he says it's a surprise guest, it's usually someone that annoys me. So this is a thrill.
Yeah, nice. That's awesome. What are you guys talking about? How banged up the Grats is getting with that?
Well, we just had Graham Dillette on.
Yeah,
and we were talking about the Masters and the picture that came out today of Gretz in the full on caddy garb with his son-in-law.
You know for sure he's feeling a jag with that suit on.
He's just he was probably two bottles in, and he was like, "I'm putting on the caddy gear," and everyone's like, "All right, waiter, what are we gonna say?
You're Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, you're the great one. You want to put on the caddy?" Put it on.
He had nothing on underneath, too, probably.
I wonder how many of the caddies. Oh, you probably wouldn't want to do that. You probably have to wear some gitch underneath.
I don't
know. By the way, like, how stupid are those things?
They
like,
are
get
so dumb.
Over, like, get over that. Stupid thing! Like, come on!
It's
man.
So it's like you're gonna be. Are you gonna caddy or are you gonna fix my car? Are you fixing my car?
You need a pocket that you can put an iPad in on each side of the back. Like they got the massive pocket.
Oh yeah,
it's just like you're sitting inside that thing. It's like hazmat suit. Like,
oh, it's got to be hot too.
Oh,
like
man.
That fabric does not breathe.
Cover your body in Gold Bond wearing that.
It's not a good thing. It has to go.
But having said that, Jeremy, don't you think for sure if you or I were caddying, I'm 1,000% going naked in that thing, like bare naked. And then if my guy wins, I'm stripping down on the 18th.
You might get some. Chafe skis going up and down those hills, though, no?
Exactly.
But I would
might
be...
Might need some underwear.
But as Dan said, I would have rolled in a giant pile of Gold Bond beforehand as if I was a freshly cut chicken thigh getting rolled in delicious flour ready to fry.
Stick a couple pimento and cheese sandwiches in between your sack and thighs.
That's They're not true. Getting good reviews, those pimento cheese sandwiches.
I love pimento cheese.
I've been there, and I liked them straight up. In 2005, I went, and I crushed many of pimento and cheese.
So, okay, tell us about this experience. Did you go for the entire 4 days?
No, I did what I would recommend for anybody if you're ever going down there, and hopefully soon when there's fans again. Is go during the practice rounds, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, if you can, just to go. You get to get up close with everybody and see everything. And by the time the tournament starts, you go either back home or watch it on TV.
Yeah, because golf tournaments live are impossible to watch.
Especially there, because it's so beautiful, and there's spots that you can see a lot of holes, so the people gather, and it's like, 20 deep everywhere, especially if there's something going on. So there's nowhere to see it, even if you have, unless you're like in a TV tower and you've got access to cruise up on those.
And where did you stay there? Because I heard around the golf course is a bit sketchy.
My bud, Alan Palmer, was working in Augusta's pro shop at the time, the first Canadian to be working at Augusta, who's now at St. George's, the head pro there. But Al was working there in the pro shop, and he was just had like a little apartment nearby. So I cruised down there with my bud Lairdo and his brother Tim, and it was the best way to go.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the three of us going
somewhere. Oh, yeah, going and sneaking into the Amen Corner for some rips into the woods. I was doing that, too.
Let's do that.
That's a good time.
Well, Dillette already invited us to the TSN house next year.
And you're
there you go.
You're You've been on this podcast so much, you're practically TSN royalty. There's no reason why the three of us couldn't go stay in that house. Apparently, there's like 50 rooms.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That'd be perfect. No, let's go. As soon as we're, and especially this year, he's just rushing to see that picture of Dusty as he's standing there on the, behind the green with DJ lining up.
Yeah, we did a whole bit on it.
The mix.
He's the Duthie lurker.
Yeah, it was the perfect year to go as a broadcaster because there were literally no ropes.
I think he comes up to you guys like, you know, I helped him out on a couple holes out there.
Oh, probably. I mean, for sure.
DJ, DJ, that's going to break right.
Everybody's missing this one to the left.
DJ, I'll break right. James Duthie. I won several screenies.
Several? He's won about 32.
They needed more content from the house, like you guys were saying, like a sitcom or whatever.
Well, the first day they didn't even really acknowledge why they were there. They're just in this they're in this southern house.
I wanted the house owner to walk into the shot.
I wanted a southern grandmother, I wanted an Estelle Getty type to just kind of plod through the set with a big tray of cookies or something.
Peach cobbler.
Mint julep.
Yeah. Pass them around to everybody. Yeah, I loved it. Like, there's something fun about the fact that our whole crew stays in a house together. It doesn't happen in very many events.
Yeah.
And
I'd watch the behind the scenes of that.
It's more content for the network. So
exactly.
Yeah.
We're always looking for content.
Hey,
yeah, we see how everybody gets a chance. Hey, that's not going in there. You know, they get the right to make sure that you can veto all the stuff that's not cool or you don't feel right about. Maybe get a little too banged up, and it's like there's Weeksy burling and puking in the can.
Oh, he's listening to stop doing it, Sorn. He's dancing by himself, swaying gently in the corner to this song, Jeremy Taggart, "Do It Again" by Steely Dan.
Yes, for sure. It's yacht rock the whole week.
Oh, yacht rocking it up. That's all that house plays. It's only got one channel.
He's got a yacht rock playlist. Weeksy has an iPod from 2003, and it's loaded with Steely Dan.
He's like, you guys know Donald Fagen did a lot of heroin in the 60s.
And you know who would cap it off walking through the door of that house that would set the party off is the Aussie Cam Smith. If he walked into that mix, it's game on.
It trailed by Gretzky. By this point, Gretzky completely naked. A completely naked Wayne Gretzky. Just strolling in with a glass of Beaujolais.
Everybody's got those bibs on like it's a toga party.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, the Illuminati elite come from the clubhouse.
I think we have paid for our stay by doing an offshoot production behind the scenes of Golf House.
Oh, the tune, for sure. I love it. And he's got the deck shoes with the Sperry's, the boat shoes.
Oh, yeah, that no question he's rocking Sperry's, Sperry topsiders.
There's some doobies.
Oh, yeah, people passing
Michael
around
McDonald's
some
only.
Oh, I thought people were passing around joints, but you're talking about the Doobie Brothers.
No, Doobie Brothers playlist, for sure.
Yes, definitely Michael McDonald era doobies mixed in with all that Steely Dan.
What a time. That'll be, those guys are the best.
Oh, yeah, I love that music, actually. I'm a huge fan. Well, so what's going on with you guys? How are things over on the TNT side of things? I know Toolsy's chatting with Torrens about all sorts of crazy stuff these days.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of... Look, I sold my place, and I'm looking for a new place, and Jonathan just bought a cottage out in PEI, and he's flipping a house in Halifax. So there's a lot of house stuff going on, but the pod's still burling. We're just we're about to fire another one out probably tomorrow. And 222 episode.
Wow.
Wow.
Look at that. Look at you guys.
222.
Now, let's go back to the house thing.
Painkiller episode.
Here's my idea. You and your family, you and Lisa and the kids, move in with the Torrens family or on the same compound, and then we do content that way.
Yeah, you have a content house.
Wouldn't that be glorious? I do want to have a place to more space to work, to have like a little production drum music space, as you know what I don't have here. So then technology willing, that won't be a thing soon. So you can kind of get hardwired so you're together.
So
I don't have to move to Nova Scotia.
There's like TikTok stars and YouTube stars. They live in a house called the Hype House.
Oh my God! Yeah. Content house.
Yes, exactly. So you guys would have to have the house that would fit our age group. So you'd have to come up with a different name, not the Hype House, because that's dumb.
Can you imagine like living in there, the narcissism, like because you can't really do it unless you have to be a narcissist. To be
a YouTube star, the first kind of first prerequisite is narcissism.
It really is. Like hard work, sure. You know, you got to get it out there all the time. But if you're not branding yourself and your own trip as like then you're supposed to come across honestly, like it's just you. But then it's supposed to also come across to be able to monetize it, right?
Yeah.
Well, the thing it's hard to wrap your head around, like, if someone starts creating YouTube content and they, like, no one knows who they are, like, that takes a lot of balls because you know people are going to see it from your school and you, like, no one knows anything you do yet. So yeah. It takes a lot of confidence to do that.
Well, you see how our kids consume it, right? They look at these people on the YouTube that they like. And they watch that like we used to listen to records or watch movies. They just crush like an hour of this person's opinion. And sometimes they're pretty funny and they got like good stuff going on. But that's what it is. Like if you're not, if this person's not cool at all, like that's some serious like bad results in terms of like kids watching this stuff and thinking this is the right thing to do, you know?
it's interesting to see, and then you see, well, your kids have probably done the same. They outgrow things. They're like, I don't watch that person anymore. You go from watching them every day to never seeing them again.
Exactly. Like I remember when that stupid Logan Paul blonde guy came out. My son was watching him until they started getting like, it was almost like you could see he was getting so full of himself because people were actually fans or whatever.
Yeah, we sat next to him at a NASCAR race, and Jay had to ask his niece who he was, and she's like, oh my goodness, you sat next to him?
Yeah, she was fired up. I had no idea.
Yeah, we were like, some YouTube guy?
He's very bro-y, right? He's like the original
totally
bro.
Totally like, he's just like, dude, what's going on? Like, what? So it's like, it's kind of funny for a bit when he wasn't really that popular, and he's just doing stupid stuff, and then when there's like legions of people and he's selling merchandise, it's like, oh, okay.
And now isn't he boxing now? Isn't he fighting?
Oh, well, because he's making millions doing this, right? Yeah. He's become a superstar based on what he's doing. And he has everything now, from a podcast to a clothing line.
And there's no reason why we couldn't all do the exact same thing at the Torrens compound.
The funny thing, like it's like, everyone buys the same, you know, American Apparel hoodie, and they put their name on it, and they sell 5 billion of them.
Yeah,
you see them everywhere at the school. Like you pick up kids, and they're wearing YouTube people.
Oh, no! What's the funniest is the Champion brand clothing, and someone pointed out on TikTok. They're like, I don't know if you kids know, but Champion brand used to be sold at Kmart back in the corner, and if your mom came home with it, you were embarrassed.
It's cool. Now.
Yeah, everyone's got it now.
My son Jack, he says, "Dad, you know, if you're wearing Champion stuff, you're bad, right?" He's like, "That's what all the burnouts are wearing at school. Like the kids that are just like gonna crash star. It's gonna start looking for.
That makes me nostalgic. All my classmates were burnouts.
That's the kids, the champions' gear. It's like, Dad, watch out for those champions' gear.
Well, then I had to describe to my kids what Kmart was. I'm like, well, Kmart was Walmart before Walmart. So.
Well, yeah. Well, it's kind of like it's glass. If Giant Tiger was massive, right? That's what you said.
Oh, GT Boutique.
Remember when they were? Remember when it was? They were all together, consumers distributing, and then.
Oh yeah, consumers distributing.
Consumers catalog when you were a kid.
Like that was Amazon before Amazon. They had it figured out. They were right there, and then they f***ed up.
Yeah, they were right there.
Something happened. Something went wrong. Like it's like the Blockbuster thing when they had Netflix and they screwed it up.
Yeah, remember on Netflix? It used to be
DVDs in the mail.
Yeah, you had to get the DVD in the mail and send it back before they send you another.
Send it back. They give you an envelope. Like
which is pretty different than what it, clicking on the internet.
It is pretty funny.
Pretty funny because they were the boxes of those in supermarkets or whatever. You'd come out and put the movie in. Remember the Netflix boxes?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Stoff just told us, Jeremy, that Logan Paul is on the Mike Tyson Roy Jones Jr. undercard.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty classic.
That's pretty hilarious, I have to say.
And because that's where the money is. It'll put him there, and that's another million people that'll watch it.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. The curiosity factor, the train wreck factor.
But you're seeing these guys are still big celebrities. You get Eminem's my man, whatever, who else was fighting is going to win. So then you have that stuff going on. So you're like, well, what the hell's real and what's not real anymore?
Well, we got it.
But it's being verified by celebrities as a real fight that they want to watch.
Maybe we need to start a rivalry with another podcast and then get into fights with them. Yeah. I think it should be the rubber boots.
Yes. Is it just Duffy?
Well, it's Duffy and Puffy and Stoff. Lester and Stoff. But Stoff, you have to be neutral.
Yeah, I'll be the referee.
The whole gang, yeah.
No. You're on our side. You've been on this podcast way longer than the rubber boots.
Come on. You're with us.
Yeah, you got to get your hands dirty, Stoff.
Come on, Stoff. You got to choke them up.
I'll still be the referee, but I'll pass you guys the chairs when no one's looking.
Okay, good.
Very nice.
Your hand is foreign objects.
WWE style.
And Jonathan and I can come in with the, throwing chairs or whatever else.
I love it.
Yeah, you guys could be a Legion of Doom, or you could be the Road Warriors.
Exactly. Same thing, right?
Oh, they're the same thing?
Yeah, I think they were the Road Warriors.
And then they changed it?
And then, when they joined WWF, they became the Legion of Doom, I think.
No, we would just come and start heckling, and it would just be hardcore heckling.
But you would be dressed as the Road Warriors.
Yes, the makeup.
Wait, exactly. I'd like to know, Taggart, who would
you guys should play a game? Who's dead and who's not dead in wrestling?
That's so sad.
No, I don't want to play that. I wanted to play a game. Who would be the worst at taking a punch out of you, me, Torrens, and Onrun?
Actually, why don't you guys name me two wrestlers other than the Iron Sheik and Hulk Hogan from the early 80s that are still alive?
Okay, Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan,
I already said other than Hulk Hogan.
Oh, sorry.
And Iron Sheik.
Jake the Snake Roberts, amazingly still alive. Shocked about that one.
He is. Did he turn his life around?
He kind of has. He kind of has. Yes, he was. He was severely in the gutter.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat?
He is not alive, I don't think.
He passed away, man.
He's gone.
What about... How about the Dynamite Kid? Is he still alive?
I don't think so. No.
What about Davey Boy Smith?
I don't think so.
Dead.
What about Bret Hart? Bret Hart.
Boom.
Oh, there you go. This is awful.
I just saw Bret Hart in my neighborhood.
What?
Standing on the street, just kind of looking in the distance.
Why was he in your neighborhood?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. He was just standing around.
You didn't go get a picture?
Well, I saw him, and I I've met him before. Like, I kind of know him a little, but I just saw him and he just seemed like he just wasn't ready to be approached. You know, you just get that feeling.
Like you might say something, all of a sudden have a black eye.
He might turn around and smack me.
Maybe he's looking to move in the neighborhood.
Oh, that would be so fun.
He's got like the, you think you're funny and a smack.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That's the first thing for sure. You think you're funny, I hope smack.
I think he was probably doing stuff. This is pre-COVID. I think he was probably doing stuff at the Comedy Bar. Because he used to do stuff down there all the time with those guys.
Bret Hart?
Yeah, yeah.
He did comedy?
Yeah, he would do like that Sunday Night Live.
Okay, so maybe he would...
He was probably stopping and doing something like that, but then just standing on the street. And it was a bit surreal, to be honest with you.
That's a Canadian heritage moment.
It was a bit of a hinterland who's who moment.
I love when you see like celebrities just doing... And really ran nothing, like a hack in the dart or like waiting for the bus.
Well, I also remember that Tragically Hip show we went to in L.A. I'll never forget Dan Aykroyd just wandering the street in like an unbuttoned white Oxford shirt, untucked, just manically walking up and down the street. Like I was like, it's like he was looking for his dealer.
Walking one off.
Just walking around. And finally I was like, Dan, do you have a ticket for the show?
Dan, can I help you? You got any white? You got any white?
That's just a Tuesday with Aykroyd.
Yeah, that would be.
You're like, no, I don't. Get out of my way. He starts walking off.
Next!
My Canadiana moment that I get once a month now is Blue Rodeo's Greg Keeler. He's just wandering around my little town.
That's like being full on straight up. That's legend bomb right there.
Oh, yeah. And he's got like...
he has a cool car.
I've seen a couple of different cars of his. They're unreal, but...
he's like Leno.
He's the Leno of Canadian celebs.
Rolling in on some vintage car.
It's either him or the motoring 2020 guys. Those guys just get their Ford Focuses for free. I need a fresh Focus here.
Oh, man, good stuff.
Jeremy, we got to run, but, man, it's always great catching up with you, buddy.
Sure, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah. I sent you something in the mail. Let me know when it arrives.
I will. That's great.
We're just going to leave that there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas present.
I like it. Thank you.
A little holiday.
Yeah, make sure you send your presents early this year because I'm sure the post office is going to be backed up. A lot of parcels.
Sure, definitely. Yeah, you got to get that stuff. If you're going to, because more people are getting stuff online these days.
Oh, and if you're... receiving a lot of packages, I see people leave out little treats for the delivery drivers. Great idea.
Yeah,
like some water, some pops, some like whatever.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Some s'mores.
Some s'mores. Some freshly melted s'mores.
They're eating them all up. They're like, wait a second.
This is
wait.
Weird, but all right, I'm biting into it.
Love you, bud.
Stay
Love
safe.
You too, bud. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you. Bye.
Jeremy Taggart, Canadian rock legend. Oh, we forgot to ask him about the song that he was tweeting out. Was it One Man Army?
One Man Army. He was talking about doing that song.
Yeah.
A lot of people are asking him about it. I love that when he goes on a little roll there. Oh, no!
He says that song, he wanted it to sound like he was throwing his drums down the stairs. Did you spill that?
I spilled pretty much an entire can of yerba mate.
Ooh, that's going to be sticky.
You know, it's not going to be happy. Oh, dog.
Sticky. They aren't even in stew. That donut you're holding right now looks like the Homer Simpson donut.
I know. It's so perfect. It's like perfectly like the pink purple kind of icing with sprinkles.
Hey, McDonald's, great job on the donuts.
They're so good.
I never doubted you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's never been a better time to order your favorite McDonald's world-famous fries. From November 10th to the 30th, a portion of the proceeds from every size fry purchased at participating McDonald's restaurants will go to support Ronald McDonald House Charities Canada. Plus, you can also round up your order to the nearest dollar at the drive-thru or kiosk, whether it's buying fries for your family or paying for the order behind you in line. Let's continue to have Canadians supporting other Canadians. Now go enjoy some fries and show your support by using the hashtag #FriesForGood. Is there anything more amazing than when someone pays for your order ahead of you at the drive-thru?
It's never happened to me.
It happened to me in Kelowna this summer, and I have to admit I was a bit confused. I thought, and I went home and I told my parents, because I was staying with my parents, and I was like, I think they must have recognized me. So they paid for my order, guys. Your kid, your son did it again. A lot of fans. They're like, no, that's like a thing. Like, people do that all the time. I'm like, oh.
All right. Hold on. Sorry.
Yeah, so get some fries. Get some donuts. Live it up. It's 2020.
That's right. Dan's a zombie now. Gretz is naked. Everything's different.
And it's all acceptable.
Yeah.
Live your life.
Thanks, everyone.
They're going home.
Listening to the Jay and Dan podcast, brought to you by our friends at McDonald's. James Duffy presents the Rubber Boots Podcast.
So we're sitting down at our table. The waiter comes up and he's like profusely sweating. And this is like 100% his first line to us. He goes, "Hello, I am not well. I'm very ill."
You ate there?
I came down with it yesterday. I've just not been good. Not good at all.
Get it at tsn.ca and anywhere you get your podcasts.